Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this snowy Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a tough one for Vanderbilt last night. They get blown out by Kentucky, 82-61 the final. Vanderbilt's lost 3 games in a row. We talked earlier in the week about Vanderbilt, their path to the NCAA tournament, and some more work needing to be done on that front by the Commodores. What'd you make of the loss last night for Vanderbilt, and where things currently sit for Vanderbilt in terms of their path to make it to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, 3 straight losses, and those 3 games are number one Auburn at home, at Tennessee, at Kentucky. It's just an insane league, as we've talked about, but that stretch in particular, my goodness. So if you take it bigger, that's 5 out of 6 for Vanderbilt. It's also 6 out of 8 for Vanderbilt. The other losses at Alabama, at Oklahoma, at Florida. And then the wins in there are Kentucky at home right before that stretch. They beat Tennessee at home, and they also beat Texas at home, which is a key one, because Texas and Vanderbilt are going to be bubble teams that are compared against each other. And they're 17-9. People shouldn't get hung up on conference standings, because 5-8, it's just like in this year's SEC, I promise you, there will be teams with losing records in the SEC who are in the NCAA tournament. It's just how it is. If you do enough work, this league is a grinder, man. So that said, I mean, to me, Vanderbilt's got to win at least 2 more games, and I would say they need to win 3 more games to feel safe, and that includes the SEC tournament. I think if they get to 20 with what they've done, you don't know how everyone else is going to do. Whenever you talk about a team, whenever we talk about teams or fans look at their team in the NCAA tournament, it's kind of like they're talking about them in a bubble, right? And yeah. I could be, I could be wrong, because a bunch of these other bubble teams, Wake Forest, North Carolina, San Diego State. I mean, like, they could all just win out and make it harder for you. But generally speaking, I think 3 wins gets Vandy in. Ole Miss Saturday at home, gigantic game. At Texas A&M's tough. Missouri at home. I watched Missouri put 1 million points on Alabama last night. Missouri is a real deal. And we'll get to, the Alabama game and what that means for Tennessee, because that one seed door cracks open a little bit. But Arkansas at home, John Calipari's team, they gave Auburn all they wanted last night. Had they won, I think they'd be in really good shape, but that's a bubble team too. Arkansas and Vanderbilt, that's a bubble buster game at Memorial Tuesday, March 4th, a 9 o'clock start. And that's a huge one. And then they're at Georgia, which again, another bubble team that's fighting and going the wrong way, but a talented team, and that's on the road. So can you get 3 of those? Can you get 2 of those and do something in the SEC tournament? That's, I think, what it's going to take. It would be a shame if this team doesn't make it, because I really do think they're good enough to make it. Last night, it's 41-40 at the half.
Yeah.
And it's a great game. In the second half, when it came down to it, Kentucky started going inside because they do have the advantage, and that was a smart move by Mark Pope. And Vanderbilt, the same shots Vanderbilt was hitting in the first half, they just didn't hit them, Sometimes it's as simple as just not making your shots. But I absolutely think they're an NCAA tournament quality team, but they obviously have work to do, and it's not going to be easy work.
Did you see the Missouri coach hop on the microphone last night and be like, please do not rush the court?
Yes.
Do not do it.
The 1.5, I'm like, wait, why are they stopping the clock with 1.5? What is going on? Did someone seriously commit a foul? Like, what are we doing? And, yeah, I kind of liked it. I mean, they were kind of laughing on press row, and it worked. So they don't get the fine. And look, I mean, Missouri's like, it was like number 14 against number 4. Like, you're Missouri. Like, you know, Bama's great, but just be happy with the win. We don't have to rush the floor every time.
Oh, look, I think Vanderbilt started the trend. Everybody's seen Vanderbilt rush the court twice this year, and Candace Lee, like, she looked like she was going door to door, like trying to get people like, please do not do it. Do not do it.
Go on the mic. Anyway. Yeah, go on the mic next time. You got to tell the whole – yeah, there were – I did notice there were like maybe like 5 or 6 people who still rushed out there, but it was kind of like – yeah, you know, because I was like, wait a minute, that looks like students who are running, but like it was just such a small group, it didn't really count. They didn't impede anybody. So
just get Mark Byington out to the middle of the court with like 3 seconds left in the game next time it happens. But do not come on this court. Don't do it.
Yeah, maybe they should do like a, you know, like 10 fans get to rush the court, do like a promotion, and then it's like they still get to enjoy it, but it's not enough to give you the huge fine. So.
It's like when USC let, you know, people run out of the tunnel with them earlier this year in football, and the Penn State guy was right behind them the whole time, just yelling at him the whole time. I think you could sell this thing.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
My God, that was great. So Tennessee, too. Like, Tennessee right there, they're, I mean, I think they're the 5th team right now. Alabama loses. Tennessee's got a chance. And, look, if Duke slips up at all, the SEC really could sweep the top 4 seeds, which is crazy. It's never happened before. But Tennessee could get in there with Florida, Bama, Auburn, and they could all be 1 seeds. A&M still would be in there, although Mississippi State beat them this week. So, you know, we'll see. I still it'd be wild for me for this Tennessee team, because I think Rick Barnes has had at least a couple that are better, to be the first Tennessee team to get a 1 seed.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm selling them short a little bit too. It is the number 1 defensive team in the country.
Do you think the committee would allow that to happen where there's 4 number 1 seeds from the SEC if it's remotely close?
Yeah, I do. Bubba Cunningham talked about it the other day, and he said it's possible. I mean, you know, look, when it comes down to it, if you look at Duke and the ACC, I mean, if they just roll from here, then they're going to get it. They'll be fine. But, like, it's such a different – it's like they're playing a different sport in these SEC teams. And the committee's rankings, the official seedings they put out, reflect that. I mean, that 5 of the top 6 seeds were SEC teams. So, yeah, I do. I mean, it's not like it's – I mean, you know, leagues have had 3 or 4 in the past.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's clear, like, that Duke doesn't measure up – because if you look at Duke's resume, they lost – they won at Arizona. That's a big one. They lost the game to Kansas. They lost the game to Kentucky. And it's just the ACC just doesn't give you much. The quality of work by these SEC teams just outdistances them to the point where I think if they suffer like one more upset, because Clemson's a good team. That's the other ACC team that and Louisville's pretty good. But if they lose to some, even if they lose to Illinois, Madison Square Garden this weekend, I think that they're vulnerable. I do. But again, are the SEC top teams not? Are they going to avoid upsets? Or are they going to stumble a little bit? You know, are desperate teams in the SEC tournament going to beat them? You know, who knows? But it's possible.
You know, it's amazing. We're talking about Tennessee potentially being a 1 seed in the tournament, Joe. And admittedly, like, I watch them play, and I try to forecast what it's going to look like come tournament time, and I have like no confidence in them. Now, they'll probably win some games in the tournament, but like in terms of being a legitimate Final Four national championship contender, I have no confidence in this team whatsoever. Is that weird?
I mean, I get it. No confidence.
You can see the offensive dud coming like a mile away from this team in the tournament.
Yeah. Well, I think that sometimes I get that way when I look at Houston too. Like they look so great every year, and then they have like this total brick fest in the NCAA tournament and come up short. So I do get it. You know, I think there are different ways to win. Like they had an all-time brick fest last year in the NCAA tournament, and they still beat Texas in that game. They could not hit a freaking shot to save their lives, and they still won. You know. So, I mean, it's like you may have to get through something like that. But, yeah, to me, it's like the more that they push the envelope on getting into the lane, it doesn't have to just be Ziegler, Gainey, you know, Mayshak. Mayshak can get to the hole. Mayshak can go in and post up a guard. you know, Milicic, I do think, is a guy who can score anywhere on the floor. So the more that they get more people involved and really don't be such a settle for jump shots team. And look, they need to push pace off their defense. You know, when they run in transition, they're much better. So, but I understand it. I mean, Tennessee's never gotten to the Final Four. So, I understand the skepticism. They did get to the Elite Eight last year. It'd be a remarkable feat for them to go a step further than that, losing Dalton Connect.
It really would. 615-737-1025, our phone number. An interesting situation brewing in an athletic department that's going to get a lot of attention that I think could become very common around the world of college sports. We'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball as the Commodores take on Oklahoma with a 6 o'clock tip-off pregame beginning at 5:45. Vanderbilt women's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball, coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium now through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. So, Joe, I mentioned before we went to break last segment, an interesting situation kind of brewing in an athletic department, a very prominent athletic department around the country, that I think could become fairly common in the world of college athletics. Kind of set up for us what's going on right now at the University of North Carolina with Bill Belichick coming into the fold.
Yeah, Matt Hayes wrote a really interesting column for USA Today about this, which, first of all, it's funny because Belichick is the coach, obviously, and he's the big name, but this Michael Lombardi, who is like Stilly's buddy, is, I mean, Michael Lombardi, he said there might be something on the plane from Green Bay. You know, he was a GM in the NFL. I mean, he might know. Yeah, because Michael Lombardi is just completely talking out of his butt. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, what happened on the plane? I don't know. So he's like the whatever. He's a GM.
Right? He's GM, this, yeah.
He's a GM. And he's out there, you know, first of all, like whenever there were rumors about Belichick, he's the one who was out there like, you all idiots, shut up. He's not, you know. So now he's out there basically, you know, putting out there like how much investment is going to be needed. As Matt Hayes wrote, it's like if you really look at everything, including, you know, staff, coaching, because Belichick drove a hard bargain to take that job. And, you know, they're talking, you know, the quote that Lombardi said that Matt Hayes used was, you know, we're the 33rd team. We're the 33rd team, right? Hey, I mean, I like the brand. Play it up, man. Play up, you know, what you've done and all that stuff as much as you can. I mean, it's North Carolina football. You need as much help as you can get. But Hayes estimated that if you think about like NIL and everything, it's about $40 million that, you know, you're going to need to invest this year in that program. And of course, North Carolina is very much in a bind with his basketball program. You know, you're talking about an absolute blue blood. North Carolina fans, give me all the North Carolina fans and look in their hearts and tell me what they care more about, football or men's basketball. It's not close. It's not close. It's a men's basketball fans base. And, you know, football is so critical. And this is what's interesting. These basketball schools have come around like, look, man, you have to win in football. You have to have that revenue. You can't just live on your basketball program, right? So the basketball program's in a bind right now because Hubert Davis is not doing well. It is not going well with Hubert Davis. And that, you know, my guess, they may miss the tournament. They're right on the bubble. But my guess is he gets another year. But it's coming up here, unless things change pretty dramatically. He had that incredible run. He ends Krzyzewski. Like, that should buy you time. You know, that was an incredible – it's too bad for him they couldn't actually close the deal and win it all. Then you'd buy more time. But it's just gone really poorly since then. So then you're getting into buyout. Then you're getting into what big hitter are you hiring to fix this freaking program? North Carolina basketball doesn't live on the bubble. North Carolina basketball competes with Duke, a national championship contender, and, you know, well, I was going to say Kansas, but they've fallen off the map. You know, the, I mean, this is a blue blood program. So then you get into the revenue sharing, $20.5 million starting next year, right? Now, again, that's not the only money. There's still going to be the, I mean, like the collectives, it's still going to be like bidding wars on players, money beyond that. But you could see where at that place, you're going to have some tough choices to make. I mean, like donors are going to have tough choices to make. They already got put into the, okay, don't worry anymore about like the facilities. We need you to put your money toward the players. Okay, but now which players? I mean, are we helping Belichick actually turn us into a legit program? Or are we fixing our freaking basketball program, which is like the centerpiece of our athletic department for decades? I mean,
right.
You know, look, obviously a lot of places you hope you don't have to make choices, but I think most places you will.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really common thing. Like, we've talked about this. At some point, like the donors, it's not an unlimited supply of money. Like, they've got a lot of money, and depending on where you're at, like the money's deeper at a place like Ohio State than it is at Missouri, right? Like, we understand that. So I do think, you know, right now, you're right, it's gone from, hey, we need the biggest and the baddest facilities that you can possibly generate. And now it's gone more into, we need your help with players. Like, we got to get players in here. I wonder, like, if the situation in North Carolina right now, where Belichick and Michael Lombardi are just clamoring for as much money as they can possibly get, does that become a thing nationwide to the point where, like, maybe some traditional either football programs that we're used to seeing being having a lot of money at their disposal, does that get taken away and shifted elsewhere? Or with, like, in the North Carolina example, what if the donors do decide, you know what, we're all in on Belichick, let's help him build this football program. How does that affect their basketball program, which has been a blue blood for as long as anybody can remember? Like, does that start to change if they devote more of their resources towards football? Like, it's a really interesting time in college athletics from that perspective of, like, donor fatigue and donor money. How does that play into how money is raised moving forward? Like, you're seeing it with Tennessee net right now, right? Like, they've gone up with their ticket prices in football. They're going up in basketball. Like, they're trying to do, and they're calling it like a talent fee. Like, there, a lot of places are going to try to do that to try to help with the revenue part of it. I'm really interested to see, like, revenue-wise, what this looks like and what the allocation looks like here in the next 5 to 10 years.
And how many college athletic departments, because I feel like, I mean, you know, look, there's other great programs at these places. Tennessee has a great softball program. That would be the fifth, right? Vanderbilt has won national championships in bowling. Vanderbilt has great tennis. Like, you know, so, but let's take it to most places, I think, have like four programs, and it's kind of a north-south thing. Like, for example, like Michigan State, they have four sports that are like, it's men's, women's basketball, football, and hockey. Tennessee, you know, men, both basketballs, football, and baseball. Again, the softball is like, they are right there,
yeah,
competing nationally. But if you look at it like four sports, how many major, you know, how many of the top athletic departments in the power conferences are going to be able to long-term invest enough in all four? I mean, I think, you know, because like you mentioned Ohio State, I don't have a spreadsheet in front of me. They certainly, like, they're competitive in the basketballs, but I would bet that they're down the list some in the basketballs.
They just spent $20 million on football. Yeah.
Yeah, they're at the very top list in football. They're not, they haven't had their hockey program really is usually not great. You know, so that they look, I mean, it kind of looks like, you know, that's historically before all this stuff, but it's like that can probably continue. But, you know, if you're, I mean, like, you know, this is where it gets into, and Tennessee fans, I think it's really interesting. You know, Tennessee fans, you know, the question of, like, I mean, it is a golden era right now with Danny White and these coaches. You know, he didn't hire Vitello or Rick Barnes, but obviously those guys were in place. It looks like he's made a really good women's basketball hire. It's early, but it looks really good.
Yep.
And obviously it's gone, you know, it's been, I mean, Josh Heupel has done really good things with the football program, but like, does this get to the point where tough choices have to be made? And if so, well, I mean, I guess you've already sort of made clear
I have thoughts on that.
You're willing to cut all the other sports, basically.
I have thoughts on that. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up later this hour at 745 as well. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rexrode brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, going back to the athletic department discussion, you know, the situation in North Carolina where you've got, you know, the football program competing for more money, you've got the basketball program wanting as much money as possible, and like inside athletic departments, does it get to the point with administration, with donors, with the whole picture involved where tough choices eventually have to be made at some point and you got to kind of pick a direction? You know, as a Tennessee fan, here's the way I kind of view it, and I can only speak for myself. I cannot speak for Tennessee fans in general. I had a lot of fun watching the baseball program do what they did last year, right? I mean, they were the number one seed. They rolled through Omaha. I mean, and they win the national championship. It was awesome. We talked about it. It was great. As much as I joke and rag on college basketball, I do legitimately enjoy the tournament. And I do legitimately have respect for Rick Barnes and the program that he has built with basketball. Having said all that, like, if you're asking me to be honest and to make a choice as a Tennessee fan as to where I want to see investment go, it's football all day. Like, that's where I want to see the investment go. I want to see the football team have as much resources as they can possibly have, and I want to see them be as competitive as they can possibly be in terms of player acquisition and NIL. I mean, that's where I come down on it. Like, if it comes to the point where you're forcing me to make a choice, I'm going football all day. What I don't know, Joe, is how many Tennessee fans agree with that. I think there was a time where that would have been almost universal. Like, I think there was a time where most Tennessee fans would have thought that way and would have thought that it's football and everything else. With the success of the women's basketball program and men's basketball under Rick Barnes, and certainly with Vitello and the national title they just won, what I would love to know is how many people who once thought that way don't think that way anymore. That's what I would love to know.
Yeah, and obviously Tennessee's objective is to not make it an either-or situation.
Correct.
But that is an interesting question. If you're a Vols fan, max out in football. Again, I can't sit here and guarantee, again, like we see it all the time, and you go to pro sports, highest payroll does not equal best team championship. That you're right. I mean,
this year in college football.
Yes, it did. And sometimes it does. And
yeah.
Sometimes it does in baseball, yeah, but a lot of times it doesn't. It's no guarantee.
Right.
But obviously resources max out, and then you're going to go back to whatever blah basketball, you know, the baseball titles go away, all that stuff, you know, but you're maxed out of football. Would you choose that, or would you basically choose it to be what it is now? I mean, first of all, I don't think Josh Heupel lacks for any resources.
I don't either.
Now, again, really this is about, as we move forward, you do have, you know, the revenue share is a thing that different schools are going to handle it differently. Certainly, you know, there's a possibility of lawsuits on any side of it, you know, although I think the Title IX, I don't think that's going to be a huge thing, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I can't predict how judges are going to run. There are going to be lawsuits, but
yeah,
you have the revenue share. You still ultimately, you're going to have outside money beyond that, donor driven, every year, like, hand out, like, help us out. Yeah, you got the talent fees, but again, that's like the athletic department's, to me, playing the shell game. You can call whatever you want. You need more revenue for a lot of different things, and so put it on there and say it's a talent fee, and maybe people feel better about paying more for their tickets, right?
Right.
But regardless, I mean, that's that, you know, I'm sure, I'm not saying Tennessee doesn't actually use it for that, but I mean, you could, you got a big pot of money and you can kind of call a lot of things, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, if it does come down to it, because the thing is, you know, like if you're Tony Vitello, if it does get to the point where it's like, yeah, sorry, I mean, football just, you know, has to do this. And now all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, you're losing recruits to Vanderbilt or whoever that previously you were able to pay as much. I mean, Vitello's going to go somewhere else, you know? I mean, like, you know, these programs are going to, if it does get to that, receive. But yes, I would like to know, Vols fans, like how many would choose, no, max out, invest as much as anybody in the country in football at the expense of those programs, or invest a lot, be right there, like you are now, if you can, but still like devote enough so that the other programs can be good. Again, I don't know that that's going to have to happen, but if it did have to happen, I'd love to know the responses.
Well, this is why I think, number one, when the transfer portal, the transfer portal, getting a solution there to me is so critical to all of this. Because right now, with the way things are going, it's not sustainable. Like the way things are going right now with college football, but in college sports in general, it's not sustainable. Because when the transfer portal, when you have the freedom that you've got right now, it's hard to ever really stop the NIL and like the put a cap on things right now, because there's freedom of player movement all the times, and you could just get in there and it's a free for all. I think if you get to the point that we've talked about with the transfer portal, where there's contracts or whatever, and things actually mean, like there's not just a total wild, wild west like there are right now, I think that settles everything else down. And you start to get more structure where hopefully you don't run into a situation like this. But if it keeps going the way it's going right now, and athletic directors have talked about this, Lane Kiffin has been screaming about this for a long time, and I think there's probably a little bit of exaggerating that's going on when these guys talk. But what they're talking about, like if it keeps going right now, then you are going to run out of money, and there is going to have to be a choice made at some point as to the way that these donors, these programs are going to want to go. And I think a solution with the transfer portal can help put a stop to a lot of that if they are ever able to get there.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, yeah, I think they definitely need to make like the times more make more sense and things like that. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know like what, like again, the courts have kind of spoken, you know, on in terms of like player movement. Again, I think that the solution there is if you have basically contracts, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Right now
you've got players like every window hopping back into the portal trying to negotiate more money.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where, you know, of course it gets interesting too, because a lot of agents will be like, well, see, and I don't want to sign a 3-year deal, because what if my kid blows up next year? All of a sudden he's your number one receiver and he's making number three receiver money. But I mean, that's how it goes, right? That's how it goes in pro sports.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're up to your deal, then that's when you get to get paid again. In college sports, it's weird because then like you may be out of eligibility. So all that is going to be really interesting, but I think you're right. I think that if there's some sort of price control and contractual sort of, you know, stability, I mean, I still think like ultimately the money's still going to go up, right? Like it goes up in any other market. Coaches continue to get paid more, pro continue to get paid more, but it probably does make it cap it to a point, keep it somewhat like reasonable rise as opposed to just random flare up. So I think that'll help too. But yeah, it's like, and then if you make a bad choice, you know, you're one of these programs, especially football, but you know, whatever, even like, again, we talk about North Carolina, if you make a bad choice at coach, now you get into the buyout situation, and now you get into, and you know, donors have more power now, and they're like, we want this coach out, you know, you're like, we're not giving anymore unless you fire him. Okay, so you're giving us the money for the buyout, right? Okay, and now we don't have any money for baseball.
Right.
I mean, you look at it sometimes and it's like a mate, like you wonder, like at some places, is it just going to completely collapse?
Caleb on the text line says, I need a football natty as a Vols fan. The others can wait until that happens. Ethan says, invest in football and basketball. I don't care about the rest. I got one texter that says, I hate Ohio State, but they weren't the highest paid roster. Oregon did, and Notre Dame was pretty close. Then you had Texas. So Ohio State did pay $20 million, but they didn't pay the most. Keith says, I agree with you, Robbie, regarding Tennessee money, but thankfully, if we spend wisely and are strategic, then we don't have to pick just once. A lot of different thoughts on this one.
So this is where, like, so the flip side of what I just said, which is you got a bad coach, you got to fire, you got to pay a buy, you got to go hire another coach, all that. You know, if you have great coaches, not only do you not have that, but then you have, like, you do have players. Look, Jahni Broome at Auburn.
Yeah.
He loves being at Auburn. I mean, I did a story on him a couple weeks ago. Bruce Pearl said there was a school that was going to pay him $400,000 more than Auburn is paying him this year. I don't know what Auburn's paying him this year. I don't think it's a million, but so $400,000 more, which probably puts him over that, right?
Yeah.
For one player in basketball, but he stayed. He loves the program. He loves the coach. They got a chance to win a national championship. If you have great coaches or coaches, your players think they're being developed and they like where they are, then think about how much money you save with that, because you're able to retain your players. Yeah, you still have to pay them and you have to make them happy, but you can pay less and keep people because you have great coaches and they actually want to be there. And they think that you're making the players think that the coaches are making them better. I mean, that's the key to me to, like, not having to make these terrible choices.
The concern, I think, that I've heard a lot from a lot of fans in general, Tennessee fans, which is interesting, and I don't know what the answer is, Joe. Like, at what point does this start to really come back on them, right? Like, the talent fee we've talked about, but, like, there's all this money floating around and this constant need to have more and more and more and more of it. Like, how much is that going to affect the consumer moving forward? Because that's when I think you start to run into a real problem.
Oh, yeah. It's a big problem. I mean, again, it's like, well, we're going to get into more of this, too, coming up next. But it's just, like, there are times when I look at the people running college sports and I'm like, all of you need to, like, take an ice bath and use your brain for a minute.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was
to the Fat and Bald Show.
Butane in my veins and mouth to cut the chuggy with the plastic eyeballs.
It's game day. Bears today. Bears tomorrow. The Bears every day of lives.
Yo. Cut it.
Egg your house.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you. He's on mute.
I haven't had a mute in a while. So on the Bears thing, have we already gone through this? You gotta bleep it. You gotta do the bleep sound because it just sounds like he's saying the Bears, the Bears, the Bears, right? Like, you gotta do the Bears today, the Bears tomorrow, the Bears every day of the rest of our lives. It brings it home. I know I'm adding work to your plate, Keezer, but in the future, I think I'd like to. I almost want to make that the intro to our show. You know, just make. You know, and I know that would be tough, Robbie, to take you away saying edge rusher, right tackle,
long snapper,
shortstop, power forward,
shooting guard.
But yeah, we gotta have the beat, man. Gotta have the beat for my guy Andy Isaac. Now, before I get into this, let me just ask you this, Robbie. We had a lot of conversation. We had a lot of debate, but this last year of college football, all in all, I mean, like, obviously we're not going back. We're not going back to the BCS. We're not going back to 14. We're not going back to people voting for national champions. But this iteration of college football this year, 12-team playoff, everything that played out, can you live with it?
Sure. Yeah, I can live with it.
I mean, look, I'm more enthusiastic about it than you are. I like it. I think it's in a pretty good place. And these absolute goofballs are in New Orleans right now just trying to just savage the sport. Listen to this crap. We've already talked about the auto bids by the Big Ten and the SEC. Sports commissioners of sports leagues who don't believe in competition or earning anything by merit. Just give me four automatic bids so that we know with a month to go in the season, here's a bunch of games that had become more important because of the playoff. There's just more games that could relate to it that now aren't because we just know, yo, that team's going to be in the playoff. A great idea. But now here's this one. Have you seen this one? They're talking about these playoff games during championship weekend. Okay. So in other words, the SEC, four play-in games during championship weekend. Number one versus number eight, number four and five, number two and seven, number three and six. Those teams get in the playoff. Like this is a freaking card tournament or something. It's insane. Now, the Big Ten is actually – let's give the Big Ten its credit for first even presenting this ridiculous idea. Now the SEC is like, oh, that sounds pretty good. So they're trying to retain value – in conference championship weekend, right? And, of course, the SEC, it's different for the SEC. The SEC is the first league that did it. I remember in 1992, I thought it was incredibly stupid. Like, the SEC is doing a championship game, really. But, obviously, it's been very lucrative. It's been very popular. It's become a tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the year you were born. So, that's all you know. But when you were a little baby, I was like, this is freaking stupid, SEC. Okay? but now, seriously. So, they have this idea also of like, so you have those, but you also just have this idea that the eight plays the one and two are already in, but now the eight can get in. It's think about how dumb this is. I don't like the conference championship games. We talked about that. Like, I think we should get rid of them, but I understand there's no way because like, it's just too much revenue.
Yeah.
Like I understand we're not getting rid of revenue. Like in the NCAA tournament, they're talking about expanding it. I hate the idea. I got Seth Davis on Twitter telling me how great of an idea it is. I'm just like, please stop. Calgon, take me away. But then there's people yelling at him like, oh, I want it back to 64. Trust me, we're not going back to 64. We're not doing anything that takes away revenue. But do you understand how stupid this is to have four play-in games? They're talking about maybe at Campus Edge, or maybe they'd have these games all in one venue on the weekend. In college football, what's wrong with what we're doing? Like, what is this last year? People were mad. That's what college football is. You have to have argument, right? People were mad, but the field to me was good. You know, if you're mad about Indiana getting in, you know, Wes, I hope he's not still mad over there in Knoxville. But like, it played out pretty well. Can we not live with this? Why can't we do this for like a few years? We're already talking about these stupid play-in games and automatic bids. Let's go to 14. Let's go to 16. Why can't we just do this for a while? But it's going to be one more year, and then these goofballs in New Orleans are going to just screw it up again.
Yeah. First off, the expansion by itself annoys me, but we've already done it to 12. So just leave it at 12 for a while. But we're not going to do that. It's going to get to 14 or 16. Which annoys me again all over again. But if you're going to do that, just do that. We don't need this is really not that complicated. Expand it however much you're going to expand it and seed the field straight up. I don't need play-in games. I don't need any of that other stuff. Just seed the field properly, which was the biggest problem with this last one, and then let it go after that. But this automatic bid stuff, this play-in game stuff, like, this is a classic example of overthinking things to the point where it's a detriment to your product. And look, I keep saying that. I keep saying everything is going to be a detriment to the product, and it hasn't been so far. So maybe I'm just some giant idiot. But at some point, it has to be. At some point, your fan base is going to say, this is so dumb. Stop doing this.
I mean, this is just like some of the crap the NBA is doing, which doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
It's just – And here's the thing. These play-in games, the reason that they think they're important is because of the automatic bids.
Right.
Because we already know the four teams. There's nothing interesting the rest of the season. No, now let's get these play-in games. And then it's the NBA with the play. No, just you have a committee. College Football Forever has always had something. They've had some sports writer with a fedora and his typewriter voting for the national champion, or they've had a committee, or they had a BCS computer. Like, it's always going to be subjective. You have people who pick a field based on their results, and you have all these games that mean something and could matter. Instead, you're trying to do this auto bid garbage, and because you're doing the auto bid garbage, well, we need to do playing games so that way we engage more teams and more fan bases. Stop. It's terrible. And I hear you, Robbie. I mean, look, college football is, it's not recession proof. It feels like it sometimes, but it's not. And these people are going to screw it all up.
It's very depressing to think about. And look, you know, Greg Sankey has received the lion's share of the blame about all this, and he should. The Big Ten right now is getting right there with him, baby. Like, it is. Those two are together. With the way this is all playing out.
Two big babies taking their balls and going home.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We finally get to learn some of the results and some of the talking points from Rex Rhodes' much-anticipated mock draft that he participated in at The Athletic. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.